This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We've got the right where we want it.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
I don't know
up
either. Up is down and, you know, left and right, and cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Why are we on?
It's noon! What of my whole day? My
what
whole
are we doing
day
here?
Is thrown asunder.
Who is this?
Who is winning? What is occurring?
Who are
Traffic
you?
Is terrible. There's Jeff Rust in there, although
where's
that makes
Buckley?
Me happy.
What the hell is happening? Where's Dusty?
Buck's coming back for post game later. Dusty's down in Eugene.
Yeah, it's all, none of it makes sense.
Oh my God.
But I will say, once again, for the record, looking at Jeff Rust makes me smile.
Yeah.
Every Rust, if I ever like hit a deep depression, we're gonna have to get a 2-bedroom together. You know,
right, you got it.
And maybe,
my wife will probably have kicked me out by then anyway.
It's, and maybe it's just a studio. We get like a trundle bed, you know,
ooh, there
like
we go,
where
yeah.
It slides out. That way I can just like look down at night and be like, ah, Russ.
Yeah, then when it gets stormy, we got Thunder Buddies.
Oh, I would be Thunder Buddies with you any day. I just don't know what it is about Russ. He makes me smile.
Well, he's sexy.
Look at that.
That's can't argue with you.
That's just sex. That is. That's sex appeal. That's the timeless art of seduction right there.
So here's what's going on. We are your afternoon guys.
We don't know why, but.
Well, I know why, because we've been on there for years.
We have?
Yeah.
We've been
doing afternoons for 20 years. That's why.
Well, I mean,
Yeah, so you guys are afternoon drive. The show is technically midday.
Yeah, midday. I don't know.
You didn't know that?
Well, I guess when you said
are
that,
you
I was
a radio guy.
Not really. When you say midday, I
didn't say midday. I said afternoon. We're the afternoon guys.
I kind of think
in the midday. Yeah, I've always wanted to do a midday show, and so I feel like we're just gonna stay here. We're gonna squat.
See, this is kind of weird because it's like whiskey, bourbon, you know, like it's scotch. It's all kind of in the same thing, but it's different. So when you say afternoons, I kind of think it's Danny and Dusty, isn't it? Don't they say no. Danny and Dusty in the afternoon?
No. My God, this is unbelievable. You've been in radio for how long?
I know, but I think there's a. I thought there was
they're
a
middays.
I know, but I honestly thought that there was a promo running that I've heard that said Danny and Dusty in the afternoon.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But maybe I think, would be wrong if there is one.
Yeah. I mean, they might say, I don't know. I guess maybe the promos might say afternoons, noon till three. I don't know.
But see, I do think there's a promo that says alludes to that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because I'm a P1, unlike you, who continues to not listen.
A lot of deflecting here. I am a little worried about your radio knowledge after 25 years or 30 years, 40 years.
40 years.
I keep up in the number.
I'm not that old.
No, okay, so listen, here's the deal, all right? We're here because Dusty is gone. Danny's doing some Blazer bullshit. And we don't have a show today because the Ducks game is on later. They're playing Michigan State.
I secretly think this is all a retaliation for us not working Monday and then next Thursday.
So
yeah, I think that's what it is.
I mean, this is punitive. And by the way, I just took a harassment seminar through the Odyssey training portal. Did you have to do that?
Well, all kinds of different
seminars.
I think
they want me to. I don't think I will.
There is an email stating that if you don't. Either way, I took a harassment seminar, and it talks about retribution in there and retaliatory actions. I kind of feel like we're being harassed right now. I feel like this is a retaliatory decision for us not being on the air Monday and Thursday, which we have no say over.
Well, I can tell you this.
Where are the advocates when I'm calling Ken and Donnie.
When you're a four-hour show and you're given a two-hour show, it feels like you're stealing. Like, it's so easy.
I know.
I mean, these guys do. Well, they normally.
Well, and you're out
three.
An hour earlier than you typically even start.
I mean, come on. This is great.
You're getting your weekend kicked off early.
Yeah, and the rain is moving out, and it's going to be sunny later.
Traffic sucks, though.
I tell you what. Things are looking up for us. So we're here because we don't have a show this afternoon. The Ducks game is on. The pregame starts at 2. So we're just gonna
we're just here.
We're gonna ride the wave until 2. How about that?
I like that. Ride the wave.
That's what we're doing.
I'm riding high anyways.
Yes, you are.
I'm
dude,
on an emotional
that
high.
That was I'm sorry.
I can't process it.
Can we talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs being the greatest thing of all time?
We can.
Ever.
Because it has been a while.
So good. And for those that don't know, some of you guys are like, who are these two guys? We're the afternoon show. Suk is a Mets fan.
Yes.
And I'm a Royals fan. Yeah. And I do believe, I think we both believe, they are on a collision course for the World Series.
I'm already looking at flights to Kansas City because we're
going. I'm serious. Yeah. I think the Mets are going to win it.
It's possible.
They
got a little something.
They
got a little something.
They don't have just a little something. Ooh. They have magic.
And I heard this today on my favorite morning show. Not the
Dirt
midday,
and Sprague.
Dirt and Sprague.
That's a morning show.
That's
did
a
you
morning.
Know, did you know that?
I did know.
Good.
I did know. I do knew that.
Okay.
So I heard this.
I do knew that.
The Milwaukee Brewers have been in the postseason 9 times. This would be 10, actually.
Nine.
So before this year, they have made the playoffs 9 times.
Okay.
They have been defeated 9 times.
By the Mets?
No. No. But every single team that has defeated the Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land, every team that has beat the Milwaukee Brewers has gone on to the World Series.
No kidding.
The 10th team to beat the Milwaukee Brewers. My New York Mets.
No kidding.
Book the World's, not win the World Series, but they've made it to the World
Series.
At
least go there?
At least go there.
Wow. Okay.
9 for 9. Make it 10 for 10. Book it, Dano. Now we just need your Royals to hold up your end of the bargain.
Did the Brewers make the World Series in the 80s? They did, right?
With Yount?
I think they did. Molitor and those guys?
I don't know if they...
Old Robin Yount?
Because...
Let's look.
I was about to say the World Series runs through Milwaukee, and yet they're the team that never goes.
Yeah. Let me look up. Have the Brewers...
I thought it was like 84.
I think they did.
84, 83? Yeah, they did.
I think with Yount and those guys, they made it. So they may have made it to the, that may be, so they, I guess it's they've lost in the playoffs nine times, now 10 with the Mets. Yeah, they've only made it to one World Series.
What year was that?
Cardinals in 82.
Oh, it was 82.
Yeah, and the Cards got them.
Yeah, and the Cards, because the Brewers at that time were in the AL. For you young Sparkies?
Yes.
That's why they played the Cardinals.
I know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
That was the Willie McGee and, you know, Vince Coleman and all those bros. Was Tommy Herr probably on that squad?
Yeah.
Ozzie
Smith? That went seven games.
Yeah.
I remember watching that. That was actually my first, you know, I'm 49, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You're like, I don't know, one of those.
But in 1982, I was 7 years old. That's my first major sports memory is my parents letting me stay up late to watch game seven. And I remember... Now, this is probably revisionist history and everything's wrong that I'm about to say, but I think I remember George Hendricks squeezing the final out, a pop-up. I don't know. Yeah. That's just what's in my head.
Well, it's funny because I've always said that my first two real sports memories that are really vivid to me, one was the Monday Night Football game, Redskins-Cowboys. I remember that. And then I remember watching the 1986 Mets. That's kind of where my fandom came from, as I just remember watching, you know, Mets games and kind of being vaguely aware. And that year they were rolling, and I remember watching that, and they were like the biggest thing in sports. And that's kind of how I, you know, it was 1986. I was what, 8, 9 years old, and that's kind of how I just became a Mets fan. And I remember the first, so the Monday night game is kind of one of those. You know, it's there. I remember sitting down and being like, "Oh, football," and my dad being like, "Come sit down with me." But the one that is just ingrained in my mind is that postseason run, you know, beating the Astros, you know, Lenny Dykstra hitting the home run, and then, you know, obviously with the Red Sox. I just, that is burned into my brain. So, and when you're a kid, that stuff, I mean, here we are 40 years later, and that stuff holds true.
Everybody's got those.
Everyone's got them.
2008, Brewers lose to the Phillies. 2011, they lose to the Cardinals. 2018, they lost to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Wild card game in 2019, they lost to the Nationals, who made the World Series.
Yep.
Wild card game the next year, they lost to the Dodgers, who made the World Series.
World Series.
Year after that, 2021, Braves beat them.
Yep.
World Series. Last year, the Diamondbacks got them in the wild card.
And went to the World Series.
And this year, the Mets.
Yeah, so nine.
So it's only eight.
It's only eight? So the Mets are the ninth?
So the World Series, they lost the World Series in 1982. Mm-hmm. They didn't go to the playoffs again until 2008.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Mets are the eighth team to beat them in the playoffs since 1982, since they went to the World Series.
And then that was from Dirt and Sprague, so maybe he was just off by a year or two. And there was nothing before that?
You know, you can't believe Dirt and Sprague ever.
No.
You know, that's what they say.
Okay.
A lot of fake news there.
Fake news?
Well, no, what they're probably doing is they're probably counting the 82 World Series because they lost to the Cardinals.
Yeah, maybe
they're probably counting that.
Yeah, possibly.
And the year before that was the only other time they made the playoffs, and they lost to the Yankees in the DS 1981. And I would have to look up. I can't remember if the Yankees went to the World Series that year or not. I think they did.
Well, so there you go.
That's probably
that's
it.
Probably
it's basically. I'm gonna one up your stat.
All right, I like this.
If we're including the 1982 World Series,
yeah.
You could say every single time the Brewers have gone to the playoffs, whoever beat them made the World Series.
Yeah, so there you go.
Every time.
So look, after last night, there is an emotional high, and I'll say it has been a while since I had just pure emotion, sports emotion. Because look, it's just, my teams aren't very good. I don't really have an NFL team. My college football team never does anything. You know, BYU, for God's sakes. We got a bunch of 26-year-old white return missionaries. We're not winning anything. And the Red Wings have stunk forever. The Mets just constantly kick me in the nuts. Even when they go to the World Series, they kick me in the jimmy. The last time when the Mets made the World Series against the Royals, I won't forget this one either. We were selling a car, and a guy showed up to my house to pick up the car. And he opens the door, and I'm watching the World Series. He's from Kansas City. He's a Royals fan. And he came in and made fun of me because the Mets had just blown yet another lead.
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't make fun.
Oh,
we don't poke fun.
He made fun.
He shouldn't. He's a Royals fan.
He came into my house.
Years of futility.
And I was wearing a Mets shirt, and he's like, "Mets fan, huh?" And he's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, that must sting. I was listening to it on the radio, and I was like, yeah, I'm not happy about
it. Well, look, is he a real Royals fan if he's going to buy a car in the middle of the game? Come on.
It's a valid point.
Get out of here.
Then why is he, I just thought that was.
Well, that's because he's not a real fan.
Just sticking it in there.
Not a real fan.
And so last night, when Alonso hit that, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
That was incredible.
This is why the baseball playoffs are great. Okay, yes. So let me tease something up here. We're only on for 2 hours, all right, yeah. You little bitches? Joey Harrington will be coming on at 1:30. I don't know if you know, but he used to play for the Ducks.
Yeah.
And he comes on our show at 5:30 every Friday to talk about the big Duck game that weekend.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Michigan State. And, of course, we're all looking at the Michigan State game through the prism of
Ohio State. Yeah.
Next week.
Boy, but if something happened tonight, oh, boy.
What do you mean, like an injury?
No. I'm just saying if somehow, some way,
lose.
They lost, going into Ohio State. Yeah, it wouldn't be. Duck fan would be on watch.
They're going to play the game either way, Jace. Okay? Life will go on. But we will talk to Joey about the Ducks, 1:30 to 2, and then at 2, we'll turn it over to Ducks game day. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we have going on. So in the meantime, we're going to party. I have 6 big Big Ten questions for week 6.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And up next, I want to play. Last night was such an amazing sporting moment. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a Mets fan or a Brewer fan. But you know, it's just a
I heard from Braves fans.
So memorable.
I heard from Braves fans that were like, even as a Braves fan, I appreciated that. There was even one Milwaukee guy that messaged me that said, as devastating as that was, I heard you and it made me smile just a little bit.
The drama.
And it took some of the edge off.
So good. The baseball playoffs never disappoint. So we're going to hear some audio of last night and then we're going to get into our Big Ten questions. We'll be right back. It's Isaac and Souk in for Danny and Dusty today on 1080 The Fan. All right, it's Isaac and Souk in for Danny and Dusty. We'll be here till 2. Ducks game day takes over then. Oregon, Michigan State tonight on The Fan. 6 o'clock kick. The poll question today at 1080 The Fan on X is, which sport has the best playoffs? Major League Baseball, the NFL, NCAA Basketball, or the NHL? Log on, vote, and the only thing that we ask... Vote hard.
That's tough, man. That's tough because those are all great. I would say the biggest difference for me and my interest is the NCAA tournament because college basketball during the regular season is a rough watch for me. But the tournament time and the fact that it's one and done and you do get some Cinderella, I might lean towards that. Hockey is my favorite sport to watch, so there's an element of that. But there's something about, we talk about it, the Major League postseason and how every pitch, whether it's the fourth inning or the eighth inning or the ninth inning, every pitch feels big. I kind of want to lean towards baseball. So I think I'm clicking baseball.
Well, right now NCAA basketball is leading at 34%, which I think is an indicator that format matters more than anything.
Yes.
Because nobody really cares about college basketball until that tournament.
Well, imagine if you had the NCAA tournament, but it was a 3-game series, right? It kills it. The fact that it's one and done.
Well, look at basketball. Look at the same sport.
Exactly.
Basketball NBA. In the NBA.
No one
thinks the NBA playoffs are great.
No.
Now, it may be the truest champion of all because you play so many damn games that only the best can win, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we love the element of the upset. We love the underdog.
Yeah.
That's the basketball tournament. And in baseball, you know, I mean, they play 162 games.
Yep.
And so... I haven't done the math, but I'm guessing that a 3-game series after 162 is a very, small percentage of the regular season. Whereas in the NFL, easy math, one playoff game is 1/17 of the season.
Yeah.
It's not that in baseball.
No.
It's probably like triple that.
Yeah.
So that's why. And so it brings in upsets. It brings in, hey, the hot team can win even if they're not as good. And
look at last year.
Makes it more exciting.
Look at last year with the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. I remember years where, when the Cardinals last won their World Series, remember they won like 87, 88 games. Backed their way into the postseason. They trounced the Mets, by the way, on their way. And they won a World Series. That was it was David Freeze down to your last, strike a couple times. Like, that happens. And it doesn't happen. And the other reason why the NBA isn't very good is that doesn't happen. It just doesn't. You kind of know who's going in the NBA. Whereas in the NFL, even, there's something to be said for getting hot and being a wild card team. Look at Eli Manning and company. I mean, that happens. Or, I know the Cardinals didn't win it, but the year with Kurt Warner, the year the Beastquake, right? Seattle was a sub .500 team. But, you know, they end up in the postseason. They win, but they won a game. So I think there's something about the NBA that, to me, if you ask me, I had to debate. NCAA, hockey, baseball, NFL, all that. If you ask me what's the worst postseason, it would take me half a second to click the NBA.
Yeah.
I think it's a problem with that league.
So vote and vote hard. Format, like, this is why college football is about to pop. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because if it gets its postseason format right, mm-hmm. which they're starting to, 12 teams, way better than four.
Yeah.
It's going to be dynamite. It's going to be must-see TV, man.
Agreed.
So, yesterday's poll was who or what is the most overcovered entity in sports, mm-hmm. and the Dallas Cowboys won that at 37%, followed by the Kelce brothers, 26%.
They're a lot.
LeBron, 20%, and Aaron Rodgers, 17%.
Even Chris Russo, the old Mad Dog, he even commented on one of the Get Up shows or whatever that he had enough of the Kelce brothers who are on his network.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's ESPN on ESPN Crime, which they're not necessarily, you know.
Talk about oversaturation. Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce. Yeah.
Good grief.
I think that was after the Monday night game. Was it the Monday night game? Was it the Sunday night game where they were playing the Falcons? He was like, can we take a break on Jason Kelce just for a scooch?
So you want to hear, you want to relive?
Yeah, let's
last
relive.
Last night?
Yeah.
I want to play some audio because...
I did feel bad for one man especially, though.
Who's that?
Bob Uecker.
Oh, Uecker. Yeah, you're going to hear him in a second.
He's 90 years old.
But I want to play this because baseball on the radio, there's nothing better. No. Well, besides Middays with Danny and Dusty.
Well, of course.
But this is the Mets call. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just to tee it up, Mets can't do anything.
No.
They're down 2-0 in the ninth.
They have two hits all game.
Two hits, both by Frankie Lindor.
Yeah.
He's leading off the ninth, and he walks. Okay, he walked.
Yep.
So he's the only guy that's gotten on base the whole game.
Yep.
2-0 Brewers. They're in complete control. Devin Williams, one of the best closers with a nasty changeup, one of the best pitches in baseball. He is on the mound, and the next hitter, I think, struck out or something happened.
He struck out, and then...
Nimmo got a base hit. First and third... Pete Alonso against Devin Williams, one out in the ninth, down 2-0.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
Dude, what a call.
Phenomenal.
That's Howie Rose?
Yeah, and they got on the plane. Have you seen it? They gave him a standing ovation.
Howie?
Yeah, when Howie got on the plane, right? The rest of the, because, you know, they got to get a flight, man. They're heading to Philly. On Saturday. So, yeah, when he got on the plane, Alonso and everybody gave him a standing up.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I love how descriptive he got after the home run.
Yeah.
That is really good. Okay, so good. Now do you want to hear the Uke? Bob Uecker is still calling Brewers games.
He doesn't call them all. He does home games, and sometimes he does, like, the he takes some innings off. But, yeah, he's 90 years old and is still on those calls. And, you know, I felt for Bob because
90.
He's been doing that thing forever. And, you know, you're not going to get many more of these.
No.
And this hurt.
Same age as Frankie Valli.
I know. And yet he's not lip syncing.
And the pitch. Hit in the air to right. Deep warning track and gone.
Sounds like
Alonso
a home game.
Just put New York top in this one with a three-run home run to right field. And just like that, a 2-0 lead is now a 3-2 deficit. Quickly. Wow.
Wow.
And I love...
He sounds good, though.
Yeah, he sounds great. I love Bob Uecker. He is one of the great ambassadors for sports.
For sure.
You know, everything from the old Miller Lite commercials to, you know, Harry Doyle, Major League. He's got such an iconic voice, and that man is Milwaukee through and through. He has been doing that for like 40, 50 years. And that's the one thing that gave me pause is that when I heard that call, I was like, ah, damn it.
So here's his send-off of the game.
Yeah. Well, New York, down, they did it. And the crew will have it end here tonight. Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he may be close to done.
Yeah, he said that he's going to take it one day at a time and just see what, you know, see.
Did you see the John Boy vid?
The John Boy vid.
Devin Williams was tipping his pitches.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Did you see that?
I didn't remember who did that. But yeah, Buck sent it to us, and
that's
the way
John Boy.
Yeah, the way he was holding his glove.
Yep, it really looks like Devin Williams was letting the Mets know what was coming.
Yep, and you can see it because he throws hard. He throws in the mid to high 90s, and then that changeup is his best pitch, and it's just nasty. Throws it in the mid to low 80s, and there's movement on it, and it sure looked. You can see even in the Frankie Lindor at bat.
Well, they got really good swings.
They got really good swings, and they were taking cuts.
You could see that. So John Boy, JOMBOY, is good follow on, X or social media. He's got about a 7-minute video detailing it, and it's really good if you want to check it out.
Yeah. Bob Uecker, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is he points out even in there, they show there's a guy, I don't know who he is, but some guy in the Mets dugout going up to Pete Alonso and basically telling him, and you could almost read his lips, telling him, hey, that's the changeup.
Yep.
That's the changeup. Like when the glove was lower, and you'll see it all on the video.
Yeah.
He was changeup, glove higher, fastball. And then after Alonso hits the home run on the changeup, by the way, which is one of the most devastating pitches in all of baseball, that changeup.
Yep.
And he went oppo with it. He took it off the outside part of the plate. That's really hard to do unless you know it's coming, right? Yep. So he gets into the dugout after all the celebrating, and that same guy who they show talking to Alonso before his at bat comes up and says, I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you. You could read his lips.
Tipping
so
pitches.
It's pretty clear. I don't know if ads.
It feels like.
I don't know if anybody's commented on it, but it's pretty clear that Devin Williams, without knowing it, was tipping his pitches to the Mets.
Yeah. I mean, and when I first started watching that, I didn't know because it's, you know, it's pretty subtle, right? But even the guy who's doing it, the John Boy.
John Boy.
He even says, it may not look like much to you, but he goes, trust me, for major league hitters, but when they show the guy talking to Alonso before and after the at bat, and then you really think about how many times when someone's throwing that changeup after you've been pumping 96, 97 mile an hour heat, that changeup is, you're always out in front of the ball, right? And you're just kind of flailing your bat at it. And that wasn't the case. He was not fooling any of the Mets with those changeups. And that just isn't something that happens. And then when you hear him, when you see him talking to Alonso in the dugout, he was tipping pitches. And by the way, this isn't the first time this has happened. We see this all the time.
Yu Darvish. Game 7.
Absolutely.
Dodgers.
He had tells. And, you know, you think about holding your glove 6 inches lower, you know, is probably not real perceivable to the person doing it. But when you have people that are trying to get any advantage, they're going to get it.
Well, and in baseball, as you baseball guys know, anybody that's not playing in the game in the dugout,
they're watching.
That's all they're looking for.
Yep. Well, it's the same thing on the sidelines. Like when I was in the NFL and obviously not playing, my ass was on the sidelines. Dude, they had the coaches would yell at your ass to get up there and pay attention to what's going on to see if you could get some tells. I mean, that's just, and in baseball, it's even more so. And by the way, I looked at it. Bob Uecker has been calling Milwaukee Brewer games since 1971.
Man, it's a long time ago.
That is a
no Vin Scully, but
that is a long time ago.
I love Bob Uecker.
Yes.
And there is wrapping up last night in sports. But you didn't even get to Kirk Cousins.
I even had this when the Mets were going into that ninth inning. They had two hits, and of course, the Major League Bob Uecker line is, one hit? That's all we got is one GD hit?
GD hit?
In the break, I was even joking to Rob, and I dropped that. I said, two? That's all we got is two GD hits? You can't say that. You know, no one's listening.
Before we wrap it up, we're going to move on to college football in our next seggy, next several seggies, probably the rest of the show. You have to admit now, because you're a hate watcher. You're so negative.
Yeah, I was negative on Alonzo.
You have to admit they have magic.
Yeah.
And you, come on, you have some hope, right? Like even when they're down.
Yeah.
You now have to be thinking,
yes.
Dude, it's coming. Because when the Royals, I'm sorry, I'm a Royals fan.
Yeah.
And when the Royals won the World Series in 2015, and they were this way in 2014, they went to the World Series, didn't win it. Mm-hmm. They had this. I've seen this before.
Yeah.
It's a team that's like maybe not the best team, but God, do they just find a way.
Got something.
The Mets have that.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you can count on it. It doesn't just go away. They're magical.
I wanted to believe in the ninth inning because you were saying, like even you were like, dude, this is not over. And I did not want to believe because I hate watch. But when Lindor got the walk, even before, like you go back and listen, what did I say? If Lindor gets on base, that should give Alonso one swing to tie it. And when he got the walk, there was a little part of me that wanted to believe. And yet I was still hate watching. Nimmo gets the single. And I'm like, but now, yeah, there is.
Isn't it amazing how one base runner can change your
everything.
Complete outlook on
yes.
how things will go?
Yes. I mean, so you're right. Like going into this Philly
Dude,
series,
have some faith.
There is a little more. I got a little more pep in my fans.
They got it.
Yeah,
they got it. That's going to be a great.
And the Phillies are loaded. But remember, that series, the Phillies only got them by one game this
That's
year.
Right. All right. Coming up next, six big Big Ten questions for Week 6. But first, Russ with SportsCenter. All right, now to college football. Joey Harrington will join us at 1:30 to preview Ducks Michigan State, which will be here on The Fan tonight.
Yes.
It's weird that we're covering the Big Ten now, but here we are.
It's the Big Ten!
So, I was looking through the Big Ten sked, and I came up with six Big Ten questions for Week 6. See what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did.
See that?
I see.
Well, I'm going to start with USC.
Okay.
Now, this may look pretty mundane, but they're going on the road to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So the first question is, how scary is USC's road game at Minnesota? Because last week they played, I'm talking about USC here, they play Wisconsin. But next week they play Penn State.
Yeah.
A little bit of a trap spot.
Sure. And Minnesota has certainly had their struggles this year. They're rowing the boat. They're on like one oar. But Minnesota damn near came back and beat Michigan, right? I mean, they Michigan was up big, but Michigan's going to have a hard time closing teams out because they, you know, that Michigan's so one-dimensional.
So Minnesota lost to Iowa 31-14.
Yes.
And then they went to Michigan and lost 27-24.
27-24.
But they played right there. They played two of the better defenses in the country.
Yeah, and they were down 21-3, and then Minnesota scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think if you're USC, I absolutely think this is one of those conference games. We see this all the time in the Pac-12 where you have a team that the record's not very good. You know, you're kind of up and down. But if college football has taught us anything over the years, that these are the sorts of games that can give you problems. You're looking ahead to somewhere. You're looking ahead to a bigger game. And a little team like Minnesota that you don't take very seriously. Look at, again, Michigan, I guarantee, is sitting there being like, whoa. So from a nervous factor, yeah, I'd say this is a 6.5 if you're USC. And plus, I don't think USC is good enough to be taking anyone lightly. USC is a solid team, but it's not a very deep team. And, you know, USC absolutely should be on upset alert when it comes to Minnesota.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those games that points to why I think that the Big Ten is just tougher than the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And, of course, most people are like, well, duh, the Big Ten has always been tougher than the Pac-12. Well, we've had this debate. We have Joey Harrington on all the time. And
yeah.
We all three disagree on this. He thinks that the Big Ten, getting through the Big Ten, is going to be no different than the Pac-12 because he thinks the bottom of the Big Ten is just as bad as the bottom of the Pac-12, which may be true.
Yeah.
But I think that the Big Ten middle teams, like the Minnesotas, I think it's harder to go through a Big Ten schedule, particularly with weather.
Going on
games like this, the middling teams, than it is in the Pac-12.
Well, and going on the road to Minnesota, you know, is more of a trek. It's more of a challenge than going on the road to Cal. You know, I mean, it's a significant trip across the country, and you know, just keep an eye on that one. I think the spread is about a touchdown, so it's not like USC is an overwhelming 2-touchdown favorite. And like I said,
but it's a huge game for USC. Though.
It's a huge.
They got to win that game.
Well, USC. gave away a game against Michigan that they shouldn't have lost. And so, you know, we talk about this all the time. Even in this era of you going to be able to have losses, you just eliminated your margin for error. And you can't be losing to the Minnesotas of the world. That's because you still have the Penn States of the world. You still have the Nebraskas. And remember, at the end of the year, you got Notre Dame. You know, there's harder games ahead. And if you lose the Minnesota, that may just eliminate you, period.
Bingo. That's why this is such a big one.
Absolutely.
All right, so next, we're going to take a break. We're running a little behind, and then we'll take a look at Washington, Michigan, which is in Seattle, and it's really wild. The Dogs are favored.
I know. So strange. Again, no one just has any respect for Michigan on the offensive side of the ball.
So that's next on The Fan. Well, my friend, I love it. Yacht Rock Friday continues, even without Danny and Dusty.
We do love some Yacht Rock.
It's my thing.
I love that.
I think Billy Ocean, by the way, is coming to like Chinook Winds or something.
I saw that, yeah.
Wow. You going?
Nah. If it was at A&A, I'd go.
Yeah.
Now that, I can be honest, now that A&A is there, it kind of has become my hub of casino entertainment.
Well, it's up your way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little easier to get to. MJ Steakhouse afterwards.
Monday show. We're at A&A.
There you go.
3 to 7. Join us.
I'll be eating a pork chop right afterwards at MJ's.
Danny and Dusty back Monday. We're taking you up to Ducks game day, which will be at 2. Joey Harrington coming on here at 1:30. So these are six big Big Ten questions for week 6. The first one was, how scary is USC's trip to Minnesota? And we're both saying, watch out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two, can Washington knock off Michigan? The Dogs are favored.
Yeah, I think they can, because I think Michigan is really flawed. I mean, they're obviously they're 10th in the country, 10th in the country, and they're finding ways to win. They got hammered by Texas. You know, Texas isn't that, I mean, Michigan just can't compete with Texas. Texas is on a different level. And Michigan is so one-dimensional. So, but they do have wins over, that win over Minnesota. They got the big win over USC. But both of those games are nail-biters. In fact, both of those games were 27-24. And I know they made the switch to Orji at quarterback. He can't throw the ball. I mean, at all. There is zero threat. So the question becomes, is that defense good enough, and can you just grind teams down? And they did against USC and Minnesota, but Minnesota damn near came back, and USC basically handed them the game. So can Washington, who, let's be honest, Washington right now is a very average football team. I think Michigan is a better team, even though they're one-dimensional than Washington, but Washington is more multifaceted. They don't turn the ball over. They've had some success, but they're the most penalized team in college football. They're at home. I think this is a very, very close game, but the thing that tips me, and I'm going to go with Michigan, is this. Washington absolutely got worn down by Rutgers. Rutgers physically beat up Washington.
Because they can't throw the ball either,
can
they?
And they just beat the snot out of Washington up front. And to me, when I look at that and I see a Rutgers team that whoops your ass up front, I kind of think that Michigan is going to do the same thing. So I think this is a close game, but I just don't know if Washington has enough explosive plays to get over the top on Washington. And I think come third third and fourth quarter, I think Michigan's going to grind them down. And just, there's something off right now about Washington. And, you know, the way Fish is talking, and I just think this is kind of a reset. Only three returning starters.
What's he saying? What do you mean? The way he's talking?
I think he's kind of doing a little bit of what did you expect? You know,
he's taking some of the pressure off himself.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a weird season right now for Washington. And like I said, Will Rogers is having a nice year. He's completing 75% of his passes. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. They got two pretty solid receivers. Actually, they have three. Coleman's running the ball well. So when you look at their numbers, you're like, how did you lose twice? Because again, penalties, inefficiency, and I think they get worn down physically because they're not that deep. And I think Michigan's going to drag them into deep water, and this is what I've seen from Michigan. When Michigan gets dragged into deep water, they don't panic. And Washington right now hasn't been able to execute, whether it's against Rutgers in a close game, whether it was against Washington State. So I'm going to take Michigan in this game in a close one.
Yeah, I don't know that Michigan really has the capacity to panic.
No.
Because they can't just start airing it out. Like they win one way.
Yeah.
But you may be right. I was looking at Washington's rush defense, because that's kind of what
it actually looks pretty good.
That's kind of what it comes down to, I guess, against Michigan. Washington 34th in rushing yards per game defense, yep, and 41st in rushing yards per attempt defense. Yep. And as you mentioned, Will Rogers slinging it around a little bit. They have the 16th best passing attack, but when you talk, when you start talking about penalties and inefficiency and screwing things, it's just maybe not that well coached.
Yep.
Washington.
Yep.
And that's going to be tough.
I just,
especially up front.
Yeah, I just, I look at that. They should not have lost the Rutgers or the Washington State game.
And yet they did.
And yet they did. So I just, there's one team that I trust. And I think, by the way, this might be Michigan's first game, true road game this year. And so the other one, too, is Husky Stadium really going to be rocking? I think you've already lost two games. I think the fans are a little, I mean, I one of my best friends is a diehard Husky fan. And even he this year is a little bit like, well, we'll see what happens, you know, down the stretch. I kind of feel like it's a lost season for Washington and Fish. And I just, I don't know. I'll trust Michigan in this game.
All right, up next, we take a look at Ohio State. They have a tough game. That's next on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The man who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hour two, Isaac and Sue. Kind of weird. We've had a lot of texts from people that are like, oh my God, I heard you guys. I thought my day got away from me. No. We're on early. Yeah. Danny and Dusty will be back on Monday. We're taking you up to 2 o'clock where we will have Ducks game day. Joey Harrington, former Ducks quarterback, going to join us at 1:30, preview Michigan State, see what he's looking for in this game, as, of course, Ohio State looms next week.
Yeah, that's the Mike Riley. I think we're playing the varsity this week. I mean, there won't...
I can't wait for that game.
And by the way, it'll be the same for both teams, but, I mean, Oregon will have sniffed nothing like what Ohio State's bringing to the table. And, you know, to an extent, obviously the same thing. I mean, that's when we looked at the schedule, we're like, there's no way that these teams aren't undefeated. Now, Oregon kind of white knuckled a couple of those. Ohio State is doing what we thought Ohio State would
do. Did you have Oregon white knuckling against Idaho?
No. And they should have lost against Boise State. So we thought this was just a mammoth collision course. I think it still is. It's just that one of those teams has looked like a national champion, and Oregon, we're still doing the, they're talented enough, but we need to see it. And we've yet to even see a game where four quarters, although the Oregon State game is close.
They look pretty good.
They look good. The defense a little bit in the first half was a little sketchy, but yeah, we're waiting to see them put the fully operational Death Star together.
First half, UCLA was also really good.
Yes.
It's short of the pick six. I mean, they were up 35-3 at half,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They're getting close. We'll talk more about that with Joey 1:30. These are six Big Ten questions for week six. The next one on the list is, how big of a test for Ohio State is Iowa?
I'm going to say not a huge
The Hawkeyes.
One.
You know, they're actually decent.
They're decent on offense. But here's the thing.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
They still can't throw the ball. I mean, they can't.
Yeah, they're sixth in rushing.
Yeah.
So the test in this one is for Ohio State. Ohio State has the fourth best rush defense in the country.
Yes.
Iowa has the sixth best rush offense.
Yeah, they've got three guys averaging 4.5 yards a carry or more. One guy's averaging over 8.
So that's a good test.
It's a good test.
But I don't know overall how big of a test.
No, because again, I think what Ohio State's going to do is they'll load the box and they're just going to play man on the outside and be like, you can't beat us and you can still sack Iowa. And, you know, Iowa is an improved offensive team, but did you watch any of the Iowa State game?
I saw the end of it.
They had no business losing that.
They blew
none.
That.
You know, it's like they just, even when they absolutely needed to pick up first downs, dude, Iowa State was playing a 10-man front. There were 10 guys within like 5 yards of the, well, more like 7 yards of the line of scrimmage, and they still couldn't, they couldn't throw for a first down, right? That you can't run into those fronts. And so there's such a bugaboo there, and Ohio State is... They're the complete package. There's nothing that Ohio State doesn't do well. Now, I wouldn't say that Will Howard is the most dynamic thrower of the ball, but dude, they have arguably the best receiver in football who happens to be a true freshman. They've got two other guys that are legitimate NFL guys. You look at their averages, even like I said, Will Howard isn't the best thrower of the ball. They have these are their wide receiver averages. They've got a guy catching 19 balls, 21 and 14, and they're averaging 19, 17 and 15 yards a catch.
Oh dear.
So even though, you know, no one's going to confuse Will Howard with JT Barrett or some of those guys, you can run a 7-yard slant to these bros and they'll take it the distance, and they run the ball real well. And here's the other thing about Ohio State. They don't lose these games. Look back at Ryan Day's record. With the exception of Michigan, who does he lose to? Nobody. So this.
Well, Oregon beat him.
Conference play, I guess. Yeah, Oregon did beat him. They just don't lose these games. So as much as I want to think that Iowa will provide a test to him, and I think it'll probably be Ohio State's biggest test to this point, because let's be fair, it's not like Ohio State has played a juggernaut schedule. It's much like Oregon. Ohio State has played Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, and Michigan State. But that's been 52.
But they could overlook Iowa.
They could overlook
because
Iowa.
Because Oregon's next up.
I just don't think Iowa has the ability to score enough. And this may, they may keep it close, but these are games that Iowa just, even when Iowa was at its most dominant, they just don't win these games. So is it a test? Sure, but remember we were talking about the USC Minnesota, like what's your worry factor? So it's like a 5, maybe a 6. That's probably the same thing with Ohio State. 1 to 10 on the ROP worry index. Yeah, it's 5 or 6.
All right, the next question is Indiana really going to start 6-0?
Yes.
Can't believe we're talking Indiana football.
Indiana football.
But here we are.
Yes.
They are at Northwestern.
Yes.
And I have no idea what Northwestern's
bringing
they're
2-2. You know, Northwestern is the definition of meh. So, yes, the answer to that question is
well,
yeah.
Washington beat Northwestern 24-5.
Yes.
And you don't seem too high on Washington.
No.
Therefore,
yeah.
Indiana 6-0?
Yeah, Indiana will be 6-0.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And look, Indiana is
pretty good.
Well, yeah, the you know, Google me bitch, the head coach there.
Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
I don't think he said bitch.
No, but it's just that's the
He should have though.
He should have. He did say Google me though. Wherever that guy goes, they score points. And Indiana is scoring points.
Where did he come from? Kurt Cignetti.
He came from a lower level.
James Madison?
Was it Madison?
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So this 31-77, 42-52, 42. Indiana
Damn.
Scores.
They got a
points.
Quarterback?
Yeah. Indiana scores.
Michael Penix?
Point. No, they don't have Michael Penix. It's, what was it? Michael Penix Jr. So now they have Michael Penix the III. No, they got, is it Rourke?
Curtis I think, Rourke.
Yeah, is their quarterback. And yeah, he slings it around, man. And they just, they play a fun offense and they run the ball real well. They just, and it's fast paced. They score points. Now, here's the thing about Indiana, FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland. And now they're going to beat Northwestern. You know, we'll find out a little
right.
bit more.
Than, well, you see their next two?
Yeah, they got
Nebraska.
What, Nebraska and then I think Washington after
Washington
that.
Washington at home.
But at the end of
they
the year.
They could be 8-0.
They could be 8-0. At the end of the year, they play back-to-back games. They get Michigan and Ohio State. But here's the thing. Keep an eye on this, right? Because we know Michigan's a real one-sided team, right? Michigan's not great. If they get by Nebraska, I think that's the one that I circle it. I'm like, I think Nebraska's pretty good, right? I circle that. You get by Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, you can beat Washington, Michigan State. You just can. And you go into that stretch, and the last game of the year, by the way, is Purdue. And Purdue sucks. They'll beat Purdue.
Rivalry game.
If you find a way to get by Nebraska, there is a real good chance you are undefeated going into Michigan, Ohio State. You just got to get a split. You just got to get a split. And then dare I say, I hate doing it because there's so much football left to be played. There is a path for Indiana to get into the college football playoff.
So you have them 11-1 based on that.
Well, again.
Come on,
there's
man.
There's a long way to go. But look, Northwestern sucks. Okay?
They're not I got good. Them 6-0.
They're not good.
Nebraska can beat them.
Nebraska can beat them.
Washington can beat them. Michigan State.
Dude, I'm telling you, there is a path. There is a path for Indiana to be, let's say more realistically, 10-2. There is a path there.
Right.
You know,
well, I'd love to see it.
I mean, I think it's fun.
When's the last time they were any good?
Oh, God, forever. I mean, Indiana, it's Indiana football, for heaven's sakes. That is one of those stories, and we see them all the time in college football, where someone's like, oh, my God, look at this team. You know, TCU or whatever that jumps up. They haven't played anyone, so I'll wait and see after the Nebraska game may completely blow this out of the water and we won't even talk about this and then be like, oh, Indiana came back down to earth. But when I look at their schedule and the way they're playing and the way they're scoring points, just keep an eye on Indiana. Keep an eye.
They'll keep an eye on Indiana, huh?
And yes,
I'm looking here.
And this is the part that sucks, as someone just pointed out. Old Scinetti there. If they start.
Cignetti is his
name. Cignetti.
Let's a little respect, please.
Cignetti. If they start rolling, he won't be in Indiana next year. And that's the crappy part.
So they started playing football in 1899.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Do you care to guess how many times they have finished in the top 25?
Twice. Once.
Six times.
Six times. When was the last time?
Six times in 126 seasons. 125 seasons. The last time would have been 2020, the COVID year, they went 6-2.
Okay,
with Tom Allen,
yes,
and lost in the Outback Bowl.
And that Tom Allen, they were a high powered offense too, slinging it around.
So they finished 12th that year. They finished 20th in 1988
mm-hmm.
under Bill Mallory.
Sure.
They finished 19th in 1979 with the great, now not so great, Lee Corso at the helm. And they finished fourth in 1967 under John Pont.
Well, all I know
is lost the Rose Bowl.
They're going to roll Northwestern, and then they get Nebraska and Washington both at home.
Yeah.
I just
okay.
I'm excited. Dude, I'm excited about Indiana.
Nebraska's going to get them. Yeah. Nebraska's going to get them, and Washington may get them.
I don't like Washington.
Well, they don't like you.
Well, I've seen them play, and Washington looks like a shell of a team right now.
This is the fun of the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
Is some of these games, like when you look at, like we talked about USC at Minnesota, mm-hmm. doesn't on paper look like a great game, but it's a huge game for USC.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Next week, I got Ohio State, Oregon, but outside of that, I'm going to be watching the hell out of Nebraska, especially. I hope that's the early game. Put that on the early
Nebraska, Indiana.
Nebraska, Indiana. Put that on in the morning so I can just I can wake up and watch that, and I will watch the hell out of that game. Because if Indiana beats it,
you're gonna watch it hard, huh?
Look out.
Okay,
look
so that out. Brings us to our next game or next question. I mean, who's better, 4-0 Rutgers or 4-1 Nebraska? Because they play this weekend in Lincoln.
Yeah,
and it's supposed to be like 95 degrees out there.
Really?
Yeah, it's getting hot.
they're bringing the heat, huh? Spread seven.
Nebraska favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to take Nebraska.
Rutgers, by the way. Yeah, me too. Rutgers fourth worst in the Big Ten in yards per game defense.
Yeah,
and they're the second worst rush defense yards per game.
Yeah, I'll take Nebraska. I like Nebraska, and it's a shame that Nebraska stubbed their toe against Illinois. I think Nebraska's got a little something going on. And by the way, Schiano, all that guy does is win. He's a hell of a coach. He's got Rutgers pointed in the right direction. I just think we're a year or two early. And Rutgers is one of those teams when you bring a coach in like what Indiana did, a guy that is instant offense. Schiano's going to take a while to kind of he build a grinded out sort of team. And so, you know, Rutgers was kind of the surprise team that some people looked at. I remember Kurt Herbstreit said, yeah, keep an eye on Rutgers. It's a quality team.
Well, they're undefeated.
And they're going to get some pelts, right? They beat Washington, but I'm going to take Nebraska from a talent standpoint.
All right, the next question is our last one. Six big Big Ten questions for week six, and it pertains to Oregon. Mm-hmm. Joey Harrington in 15 minutes on 1080 The Fan. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. Signetti, going to Florida or Washington if Fish leaves?
Well, look, unfortunately for Jed Fish, he's done nothing so far at Washington that leads you to believe that Florida's going to hire him. I mean,
well, I said that all along. We got over our skis on Jed Fish. Now, here's the question. Here's a better question.
Yeah.
If you could right now, would you trade Fish for Signetti? Because I would.
I don't know.
Fish isn't that good. Dude, Fish has had one good year.
He's had one good
and
year.
And he never stays anywhere.
No, never
That's
stays anywhere.
That's a giant red flag.
Sure.
His team looks like it's undisciplined. He sucks.
Yeah, look, I give everyone time. I don't like snap judgments, but I do think it's a problem when we've seen late game execution. No reason to lose the Washington State game. You outgame Rutgers by 200 yards. Still found a way to lose that game. And you're right. Outside of last year where everything popped, you know, it's not like you had, you know, you didn't go to the Rose Bowl or college football playoff or whatever. So, yeah, I do think you're over your skis somewhat a little bit on Jed Fish, but I would like to give that some time. And the good thing if you're Washington is I think you're going to lose two or three more games, and Fish isn't going anywhere.
Problem is, he doesn't give you time. The second he starts doing anything good, he's out of there.
So that's
unbelievable.
Fingers crossed. And he's a good recruiter, so, you know, fingers crossed. So I wouldn't make the trade yet, but because, again, Indiana hasn't beaten anyone.
What if Signetti is the next coach at Washington, though?
Well,
so I mean, that guy's, he's older. He's 63.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people know that, but I don't know.
Yeah, he
could be the next coach of the Huskies.
He's got them rolling.
All right, last question. Joey Harrington coming up next. These are six big Big Ten questions for week six as we're looking at the schedule. Who wins by more, Oregon over Michigan State or Penn State over UCLA, both teams at home?
Oregon, just because I don't like Penn State's offense. I just don't, you know me, Penn State's offense just gives me the willies. And I know they blew out like Kent State.
Isn't that quarterback supposed to be good?
He is, but he said it last year. Well, he's all right. I mean, last year, if you take out the meaningful games, he had a pretty good season, but that's Penn State fan does that every year. They're like, well, if you eliminate the Michigan and Penn State game, or Michigan and Ohio State games, you're Penn State, for God's sakes. Those are the only two games that I judge you. And they've scored 34 a couple times this year. They blew out Kent State. But did you see any of the Illinois game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I watched West Virginia and I watched Illinois.
Good ball game.
And Illinois was a 21-7 rock fight. And
You're making me uncomfortable.
Drew Aller is okay. I just don't think that they are going to. I just don't think they're housing good teams. And I think Oregon can blow out Michigan State.
Yeah. Did UCLA show you anything against Oregon? Like, I mean, maybe in the second half? Or was that just kind of fluky how that all?
Think about it. If the interception doesn't happen at the end, that's 35-3 at the half.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this so many times. I think when you are kicking a team's ass and you kind of, you kind of go into, this game's over mode. You start loosening the shoulder pads. I think it's hard sometimes to get that momentum back. And I think Oregon just kind of in the second half was on cruise control. And everything didn't quite click. But that game was never in question.
So they showed you nothing,
no,
UCLA?
No.
Because they've lost by, 17 and...
Yeah.
They're doo-doo.
Well, they lost by 17 both to Oregon and
LSU. It 17, the Oregon game?
Yeah, I think
so.
It was.
Lost by 17 LSU and 17 Oregon. That's not too bad. Like, I got to tell you, watching them for the first time against Oregon... You know, Foster, I think, is better than I thought. They just, I'm not saying they're good, but
they stink.
I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying because these are huge spreads. Everybody thinks they're just the worst team in college football. They're not.
Yeah, they lost 34-17 and 34-13.
Yeah, I mean,
the difference was in the LSU game, I think it was 17-17 at the half. And then,
good.
Yeah, and then they scored 17 in a row. Whereas the Oregon game, this is where I'll push back a little bit and say it's fool's gold. Dude, that should have been 35-3 at the half.
Well, I know, but it wasn't.
But you managed 3 points in the second half. So, and the two good teams that you've played, LSU and Oregon, UCLA in the second half has scored 3 points.
Yeah, their offense sucks.
Their offense,
but their defense
stinks.
Their defense held Oregon down the second half.
Yeah. Indiana scored 42 on them.
They got some players.
Look, they should probably be over because they eked out that game against Hawaii.
Here's a question.
I'm just not going to give UCLA any credit. I won't.
Clearly not.
They stink.
Who has more talent?
Yeah.
UCLA or Michigan State?
Oh, Michigan State.
Okay.
Yeah, Michigan State.
And yet you think that, and they're better coached.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Smith's a good coach.
Yeah.
And yet you think Oregon blows Michigan State out?
I think they win by 2.5, maybe 3 touchdowns. But I just, like, Penn State, you know, Drew Aller threw for 135 yards against Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois is tough.
Yeah, they're all right. Solid team. 130.
Good little club.
I'm tired of the Drew Aller stuff. In a game that matters, please throw for more than 135 yards. Like, if you look at his numbers, by the way, I know they won 21-7, but 15-21 for 135, no touchdowns, no picks. Remember we did this last year in their losses. We looked up Drew Aller's stats. They are dreadful. The next time that guy has a good game against a quality opponent will be the first time. So maybe I'm completely wrong on Penn State, and maybe Drew Aller proves me wrong, and that this is the year that Penn State, you know, takes a step forward and they end up making the college football playoff. I just don't have any faith.
All right, coming up next, Joey Harrington joins us. He's usually on our show at 5:30, but he's agreed to move it up today as Ducks pregame coming up here in 30 minutes. So we will ask him, are we taking Michigan State for granted, and what does he want to see moving into the Ohio State game? We'll ask him those questions when he joins us next here on 1080 The Fan. Here is Rusty with SportsCenter.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rusty and his yacht rock makes me smile.
Class. You can't ever be in a bad mood with Chuck Mangione.
No.
Nice little instrumental.
Absolutely.
On your Friday afternoon.
Feeling good.
Danny and Dusty will be back on Monday. We're turning it over to Ducks game day coming up at 2. But for our final trick, we bring in Joey Harrington, who normally joins us at 5:30 each Friday for Football Friday. Looking ahead to the Ducks game. Here he is. At least I think. Hello.
Well, it depends. I mean, if there's like a... It's not a margarita that I felt like I needed. I felt like I needed some sort of drink in hand with that kind of music. Like it used to be like my melodious voice singing, which, I mean, let's be honest, there are very few things that are as pleasing to the ear as that. And then it went to like the, what was the Mario Kart theme song or something like, or the other one. But now we've got like yacht rock.
Yeah.
And that's called a boat drink, Joey. You need a boat drink.
That's right. That's right.
A boat drink.
Boat drink.
Well, yeah, yacht rock.
Is that
boat
a Coors
drink?
Light?
No. Boat drink. Come think on. Like Jimmy Buffett. You know, you got to have something. You have something cold. There's some fruit in there.
Like, what is the? That's a good question, though. What is the best drink that goes with yacht rock or boating? Like drink.
Well, I mean, if you're going with Jimmy Buffett, the answer is simply the margarita. I mean, I think
I think we have to define this because you say boating, and I think of like. I think of smaller, like, not necessarily like ski boat, but I don't think of like yacht, like Florida, like there's different boating.
True.
Yeah. But a boat drink is, you got to think cabin when you get the definite, I mean, that's again, we're going Jimmy Buffett. He's got boat drinks, right? That's the whole thing.
Okay.
You got to think like Key West cabin cruiser or, you know, you're
well,
on
it. It's got to be rum then. It has to be rum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Mai Tai or something.
Yeah, like a Mai Tai.
Pina colada, you know, something
a
like
daiquiri,
that.
If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yacht rock. That's what goes with yacht rock.
Yes.
But you're right. Okay. There are various types of boating.
Okay. What is the best? So the bet we've established, have we picked one? Have we picked one that's the best boat drink?
I think the two standards, you're either going to get a margarita or you're going to get a colada of some, a hurricane, if you will. I think those are kind of, those are going to be your traditional, like, you know, a rum punch would be another one. Those are going
to
be.
See, I can't assign margarita to boat drink simply because of the. It's got to be margarita has to be chips and salsa. It has to be south of the border.
Right. I'm with you.
I feel like the margarita's taken.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
I can go with you on a hurricane. I could go. Here's a question for Rop though. What is the best turn drink? Best drink at the turn.
Yeah, so I like to keep it light if I'm drinking out there because you know I don't want to go brown stuff or anything.
Yeah.
I'd do a. Here's what I'll do. I'm gonna do a vodka soda lemonade.
Okay, I can get on board with that.
Kind of like a press only with soda and half soda, half lemonade.
Maybe a Moscow Mule,
a John Daly, if you will. How about that?
Interesting.
Yeah. What about you?
My go-to is if they've got the Eagle, you have to do the Eagle, but it's usually a Buffalo Trace and 7-Up. Mm.
Oh, really? Okay. So you do go to the brown stuff. Mm. Nice.
Well, but see, like I don't. There's just like. There's a I'm trying to think of that word, nostalgia. Like I just being in Atlanta in the off season, like I got nothing else to do. And I was going to say, oh, by myself. So I'm drinking by myself. No. but like, yeah, that's just like the, it's hot. It's, okay. You know, it's just a refreshing beverage.
See, if it's a, I go one of two things because I usually just go with, I used to go with a can. So I just enjoy a nice banquet at the turn. There's something great about a cold banquet. And if it's a summertime, I like, you give me like a Stiegel or what is it, like the Schaffenhofer or whatever, those grapefruit Radlers. Those are wonderful turn drinks.
Okay, what's the best beer? And not label, but what is it? Is it an airport beer? Is it a post workout beer?
Oh,
is it a after mowing the lawn beer?
I've got this.
Okay, what is it?
It is the after a long day of skiing beer. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
When you get off the hill,
the lodge
beer.
Yeah.
By the fire.
Come on,
lodge beer is good. Lodge beer is good.
And then the secondary to that is the hike, the long hike.
See, yeah, for me, it's the best. It has to be some sort of physical exertion, and it has to be hot.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, warm and temp. Like, I see what you're going with the skiing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, mine, I mean, there's so many good quality beers. At home, it is the yard work beer. Like, if I've spent a day cutting, mowing, edging, weeding, maybe fixing something in the garage, and it's like 85, 86 outside, the pre-shower, post-yard work beer is amazing. And then if I'm going outside of the house, it's the vacation kickoff beer, where wherever you get to your destination, you get off a plane, you finish your road trip, wherever, and you realize that for the next handful of days, you've got nothing to do, and you crack that beer. Amazing.
Yeah, that's not bad. What you mentioned pre-shower, what about the shower beer?
Oh, yeah. The shower beer is great. You put a couple on the back of the toilet, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Speaking of yard work, it wasn't yard work, but it was, it just had finished a pretty significant drywall patch in the basement. Feeling pretty good about it. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I saw that tweet that you put out on that, and I'm not gonna lie, I questioned if that was your handiwork. Like you can do drywall.
I will send you the before and after in the break, and we can confirm that it is my handiwork. Yeah,
nice job. That's not that easy. Yeah.
Okay,
you just have to be willing to sit there in sand.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm not gonna be perfect, but you know what? I can cover up a big old hole that my kids put in the wall.
I gotta say, I'm looking at said photo here. I need the finished product because what I'm seeing
I'll
here.
I'll send it to you in the break.
Okay, because that's half finished right there.
Well, that's not even half finished. That was literally like the first coat of mud, and you can still see tape lines and all the, you know, all the
bumps.
You're
feeling good. So you probably cracked a beer.
Yeah.
And so I cracked a beer afterwards. Yeah. There you go.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I will say that a drywall project, when you finish it and you can't tell where you patched it, that's a great feeling.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that one. There are a couple others in the rest of the basement where it's like, ooh, probably could have put a little more elbow grease into that sandpaper.
All right. Well, We've already blown through a segment. Joey is trying not to talk about Michigan State, but
what's there to talk about?
It's not going to work. You know what? You're right. Here's what's there to talk about. It's Ohio State. Yeah. And that's what that's what we want to get to, and we'll get to that coming up next. So we'll put Joey on hold here. He'll be back next, courtesy of Mods PDX. We will talk about. I want to ask him: is there a correlation from a player's perspective about how you play the week before a big game? Does that matter? And what he will be watching for tonight, leading into next week. So more with Joey Harrington next on the Fan. All right, Ducks game day coming up next, and that'll be at 2, and then Oregon-Michigan State tonight here on the Fan at 6. Joey Harrington is with us, courtesy of Mods PDX. I wanted to ask you as a player, you know, we all know Ohio State's looming. Players know Ohio State's looming. Everybody knows Ohio State's looming. And you got an opponent here that you should beat. Is there how much correlation from a player's perspective is there, Joey, to how you play the week before versus how you play in that big game the next week? Does it matter on the Fan?
Ish. I mean, if anything, it maybe gives you a little bit more peace of mind. But, I mean, it's not going to – I don't know. I guess I'm coming at it from the perspective of having played well one week and then lost the next.
Right.
And
well, that's kind of what I was looking
for. Where it's like, you know, you barely squeak it out every week and you end the season 11-1. Like,
right. So just win this game. Just get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a cliche. Like, we're all sick of hearing it, but, you know, one game at a time, one play at a time, that mindset is truly what everybody has to have. And sure, I mean, you feel better if you win and play well, but if you win and you don't play well, then, you know, maybe there's a little bit more drive, a little bit more, you know, we better get our stuff in order. You know, not that you need any extra motivation coming into a game like Ohio State.
Did you ever overlook an opponent because the next week was so important?
I can't think of anything, because even the games, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the, you know, the non-league games that, you know, you play at the start of the season. You know, we started the year by having Wisconsin, you know, at our place my senior year, and then we had our non-league games afterwards. I really can't, like, look, there's no... If you overlook an opponent, and this is kind of a, and maybe Suk, you can hop in on this. I've talked to a lot of guys about this. I would say the majority of players, be it college or NFL, are motivated more by the fear of failure, the fear of making an ass of yourself, than they are by the thought of doing something positive and winning, right? So if that is your underlying feeling, that idea of, like, even if it's just Idaho, like, I better show up or I'm going to look like a fool, right? And that's a pretty motivating thing.
I couldn't agree more. And what I've always found is that I don't even know necessarily if it's an overlook. It's just... because I don't think anyone goes into practice and says, I'm not going to work hard I'm not watching tape. Like, at this point, you know, especially in this day of college football, guys are somewhat professionals, right? You're getting paid and right. You know, if you're not a preparer, you're just, there are guys like that don't prepare, but the vast majority are pretty dialed in.
Yeah, if you're not going to prepare, you're not going to prepare against Ohio State, and you're also not going to prepare against Michigan State. It's not going to be one or the other.
Exactly, right? It's a matter of there's some times where you lack juice, and whether it's a bad crowd or you're playing a team that isn't very good, and sometimes it's hard to manufacture excitement. And so I don't think it's a lack of preparation. I think it's a lack of juice. And so when there's no buzz around a game, sometimes you just go out there. And that, to me, is where I felt in the past that I could be flat. I've never been flat when when there is buzz. And I don't know what the crowd's going to be like tonight. I don't know what the feeling is going to be like, if there's going to be any trash talking. And that's where leaders and coaches come in to create some juice before the game, so that you don't find yourself in the middle of the first quarter kind of sleepwalking.
You know, that's a really interesting point, because I would venture to say that 99% of college football players out there are 100% prepared.
Yeah.
Right? And the difference between a good performance and a bad performance isn't whether or not they knew their assignment, or whether or not they knew, you know, what to do against a certain front or coverage.
Yeah,
it was that they you know, they were just a little bit flat that day. They were a half step late. They were, you know, they didn't quite explode out with, you know, or the guy across from him, you know, caught him in the right place. Like, that's a real thing. Yeah. And it's not necessarily a lack of preparation that leads to it, but sometimes, yeah, like just kind of a lack of oomph.
Well, I mean, they had that against Idaho.
Yeah.
They had it against Boise.
Yep.
And why, the guests will know early tonight whether they have it tonight.
Yeah, it wasn't sharp. And that's where, like I said, that's where veteran teams and really good coaches can be worth their weight in gold. Or, you know, even in the middle of a game, you know, Joe, you're the quarterback. I mean, I'm sure this was your job, right? Or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's some guy on the team that's not even the best, but there's always someone there that needs to be able to provide some spark. And because that's something that, I don't know. I just think sometimes people forget that, you know, that you are battling human emotions in there, and I'm with you. I think that's a bigger deal than not knowing. I've never gone into a game and thought to myself, I don't know what I'm doing.
But there is an overlook factor.
Well, I don't think there is. Here's the biggest, like, here's the best example, like, because kind of as we're talking about it, and you, what you said sparked my memory. We flew to Arizona State, right? And our plane gets delayed, and it's an 11 a.m. kickoff in Arizona. So it was, you know, early morning for, or noon there, or whatever it was. And we don't get to our hotel till 1 a.m, and we have no meetings, and we're asleep, and we come out and we're sluggish, right? This is junior year, and we're number 6 in the country. And it's like, these guys are not going to beat us. Like, we're not going to have this. But it wasn't a preparation thing. It was just like, man, we're just a little half. And I remember going up and down the sidelines, literally just yelling, just at the top of my lungs. Like, they, you know, we will, like, do whatever the hell you have to do, you know, hop on board. They are not going to beat us. Yeah. They are not going to beat us. We are not. And sometimes you just have to manufacture that energy. And it wasn't that we knew our assignments, you know, we knew exactly what we needed to do, but we just got beat because we were getting beat because we were a little flat.
Yeah. I just think the flat, though, I think we're saying the same things. I mean, I feel like being flat is because you can be attributed to having an opponent that you should beat by 25 points.
Yeah.
That causes, it's not that you're not prepared, it's just, it's you're just flat because it's like, Michigan State, we should whoop them, and you maybe get a little cocky or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right.
Did I just hear,
yep.
I just, Dire Straits?
We're out.
Dire Straits.
Yeah, we got to go. We got to stay on the, stay on time.
I got a text message from somebody that said we forgot the transfusion at the turn.
Oh, the drink. Yeah. A lot of people like that drink.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge transfusion
guy. I'm not either. And the guy who texted me that, I don't really like him anyway. So,
you know. Nice. All right. Well, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight. And can't wait to talk to you about Ohio State next week.
Go Ducks.
All right. That's Joe Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Thank you for having us, Midday people. We love middays. But Danny and Dusty own middays.
12 to 2, though, like us, like on a every day?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed.
Oh, no.
It's only 2 hours.
I'm not going to say no.
Done quicker. Go get in 18 after the show.
Yeah, you're not even getting in 9 at that point.
Danny and Dusty back Monday. Thanks, Rusty. Appreciate you. Yacht Rock Friday. Coming up next is Ducks game day, as Oregon Michigan State will be here on the Fan kickoff tonight at 6 o'clock. We're back Monday, 3 to 7 from A&A, the stadium sports bar up in Ridgefield. So join us there for Chiefs Saints Monday here on the Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain. Friendships of Spain.
Yeah.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com